Professor Vasti Ruart is the head of the Unit for Social and Political Ethics at Stellenbosch University. Vasti, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and good morning to your listeners.
You would share similar sentiments, right? We should not underestimate the levels of inequality in this country, as certainly shown by Stats SA in a report released earlier this week, and what that does to society.
Absolutely, we shouldn't underestimate it. I mean, it's simply, first of all, it's just a fact that South Africa is, at least insofar as this is measured, we are the most unequal society in terms of income distribution in the world. It used to be Brazil. As far as I know, we've now overtaken them. So that's simply a fact. The second question is, you know, what should we think about this? What should we make about this? So we can't reason this away. But we then have to start asking ourselves, well, why should we worry about inequality in the first place? And I think that's the deeper kind of question that we need to ask.
And perhaps let's explore that question then. Why should we worry about these levels of inequality?
Well, maybe take one step back and first say that there are, when we talk about inequality, we talk about inequality in different kinds of measures, right? So yes, there is income inequality, but in a sense, that's only one kind of inequality. There's inequality in access to healthcare and education and so on. And these different kinds of inequality feed into one another. So that's the one point. The second point would be to say that we don't worry about all kinds of inequality, right? So there are various kinds of income inequality that don't bother us. I would imagine that somebody, let's say, Sia Kolisi earns more than I do and probably than you do and probably more than most of our listeners earn. But we wouldn't necessarily say this is a great sign of something being wrong. So it's not all kinds of inequality that worries us. We need to figure out then what kind of inequality is the kind of inequality that should concern us. And that seems to be a kind of inequality that's based on morally irrelevant factors. Right, the arbitrary factors of your birth, the mere fact that you are born in a particular community or in a particular socioeconomic status or a particular race or a particular gender. And that's where our focus should be and where our moral outrage should be directed at, rather than at the mere fact that there happens to be different kinds of inequality. We should concern ourselves with the reasons for those inequalities.
And do you think South Africa has an appreciation of what the reasons are for the various forms of inequality in question? Because if we do, if we really, truly, honestly reflect on what those reasons are, surely that will then put us on a path where we start putting in place policy measures, for example, or things in practice that will seek to address it.
Yeah, I think it's always... it's always harder to acknowledge the reasons for inequality, for unjust or inequality, if you have benefited from it. Then it's very easy, or it seems easier, to try and cover that up, and argue that the playing fields are more equal now, and so on. It's much harder to pretend that history didn't happen if you are the victim of that history. So I think that's part of kind of how human psychology works. But I also think that it's not merely a matter of individuals having to acknowledge certain historical wrongs and so on. It is also a matter of a state and a government that has to implement the policies to which they pay lip service. So it's not enough to point to laws and policies that are supposed to mitigate inequality, to redress past injustice, if there is no follow-through. So there is not just a failure at the level of individual action. There is a failure at an institutional level, and there are various political reasons for that failure.
If we were to conduct a survey, for example, and ask the electorate who gets invited every 5 years to go to a voting booth and mark an X next to a political party that they believe will best I suppose, improve their plight, seek to deliver on the promise of the Constitution, because it is a marvelous Constitution that promises the world to all South Africans within, obviously, the limits that government can in terms of their resources. But if you were to conduct a survey and ask them, do you think that the slightly nationalist politics of the ANC, and one would argue that perhaps the ANC is not as nationalist as the title of its name suggests, or the liberal politics of the DA, or whatever the politics of the EFF are going to best address the socioeconomic challenges that we have, the vast majority of the electorate, even the educated and the well-off, would not be able to answer that question in an articulate way.
That might be true to some extent. I think one shouldn't underestimate people's capacity to understand their own circumstances. There is also a tendency to have this idea that, the electorate knows less well what is good for them than those in decision-making positions. And I think one should be slightly wary about how one thinks about that. But it is true that I think the policy, it's very hard to know beforehand how specific policy proposals and political manifestos are going to play out in practice. First of all, one doesn't know the actual consequences of some of those policies. And secondly, one doesn't know whether the party is actually going to make good on those promises. So it's one thing in sort of winning votes based on good policies and promises. And I mean, in all the parties, there are policy proposals that one can say, this looks promising, this is the kind of thing I want to vote for. Whether that turns into something real, and I think this is part of the massive frustration that we see amongst ordinary voters, is a sense of so many promises. And of course there has been delivery, but there hasn't been across the board significant delivery on those promises. And one has to ask, one way of testing whether a political party is committed to its own policies is to look at how they behave after they were voted into power. And I think there are some serious questions to be asked about that.
Without a doubt. We have the National Development Plan that was, in fact, co-chaired by the current sitting president, Cyril Ramaphosa. So he is very keenly aware of what is contained in that document. He also was partly responsible for the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa when he and Rolf Meyer co-chaired the committee, if you like, that came up with that. So here are two documents that are supposed to be guiding the South African government towards addressing issues of inequality amongst a raft of others. Are those two documents enough, do you think? So the policy framework that is detailed in both those documents, if the government of the day was to do everything possible to try and achieve the objectives of the National Development Plan, of course, those of the Constitution, would we in 50 years' time perhaps be reflecting on Stats SA's surveys and seeing a very different picture when it comes to inequality?
I think so. I mean, I don't know if I'm qualified to say that this is the very best policy one could possibly devise, but certainly we would be in a radically different place if the proposals in those documents were taken seriously. The worry, once again, is that the implementation doesn't lie at the level of the executive. Implementation lies at the level of, there's a massive state structure, which involves hundreds of thousands, millions of individual actors will have to do their part to realize that policy. And that is where the machinery gets stuck.
We'll leave it there for the moment, Professor. Thank you very much for your time this morning. It's a beginning of a conversation that needs to continue time and time again. Professor Vasthi Rood is the head of the Unit for Social and Political Ethics at Stellenbosch University.